This is Justin Mason from friendsoffantasybenefits.com. During this episode, my internet and computer had a hard time staying connected to Skype, where we record on. The Welsh was more than happy to just continue without me with Mike. Unfortunately, we had to do this over the course of a few days, and the Welsh got sick, and Scott Bogman stepped in. So if it seems weird that different people are kind of jumping in and out throughout the episode, that is why. Big thanks from Scott Bogman and Christopher Welsh from the In This League podcast. Definitely give them a follow at Bogman Sports and Is It The Welsh on Twitter. And definitely go check out everything they do over at In This League. They are consummate professionals, and I really appreciate them struggling through all the technical issues that we had. Enjoy the show. Are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh man, I've been hard since you said hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
I know, Mike, you're gonna stay with Bogman. You've made better choices, but that's one you made.
I certainly have.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Put your face on his face, put the lotion on its skin, or else it's gonna get the hose again, Mike.
Mike has just made poor decision after poor decision since joining Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Hey, I magically turned in, to the Welsh here.
Started off with Justin, myself, and the Welsh. And then Justin magically disappeared, which I wish I could do on a more permanent basis.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 78 of the Friends of Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Mike Warner. Mike, how you doing?
Doing well. Just watching Michael Phelps become the goat of all goats, you know, winning his, 22nd gold medal. That was awesome this week. Team USA is just killing it. So I know we're talking about football, but I do like to watch some Olympics now and then, and it's been nice this week.
Yeah, I love the Olympics. I jokingly said on Twitter a while back, look forward to my Olympic podcast coming up. I love them. I'm looking forward to the track and field events kind of starting up. But Michael Phelps, greatest of all time, virtually, God, probably any sport, right?
Yeah, pretty much in terms of domination. And I mean, the gymnastics team was insane as well. I mean, the Simone Biles and, you know, Ali Reisman, they were insane. And you know, it's been really fun to watch it. Hopefully Team USA basketball, the men's, doesn't mess it up, even though they almost lost to Australia the other day, which is a bunch of like second string NBA players. I don't understand why they had trouble.
Well, they're playing Serbia right now and they were kicking ass in the first quarter.
Yeah, maybe they need a kick in the ass because, I mean, Australia did almost take it from them. It was bad. Yeah.
Well, speaking of a kick in the ass, we are joined today by one of our good friends, Christopher Welsh from the ITL Podcast Network. Chris, how you doing?
Brothers, what is up? Justin Mason, Mark Warner, how are we doing?
We are doing fantastically. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good, man. I miss Mike. I miss Justin. I miss our time together. If it's out in San Francisco, getting personal face-to-face time with Justin or, you know, just the sweet, beautiful baritones of Mike Warner, I miss it. I need it.
Well, and Mike's coming out to your neck of the woods here pretty quick.
I know, Mike, you're going to stay with Bogman. You've made better choices, but that's one you made.
So. I certainly have. But it'll be fun. I mean, to kind of put a face to the words, it'll be nice.
Yeah. Might put your face on his face, put the lotion on its skin, or else it's going to get the hose again, Mike.
Mike has just made poor decision after poor decision since joining Friends of Fantasy Benefits last year. So it's just been a slow roll downhill.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you first pitch out here in Phoenix in November sometime. So hopefully we're counting on Mike to get Bogman and I to sneak us in the door because he's super important with Baseball HQ. But it'll be good to see your beautiful face.
Agreed.
Well, that's enough baseball talk for now. For those of you who don't know what First Pitch is and play fantasy baseball,
Go and listen to our latest fantasy baseball podcast. We had Brent Hershey on from Baseball HQ, and he talked extensively about what that is and what Mike will be going and seeing. If you're in the Arizona area in November, feel free to hit up Mike on Twitter and harass him, and maybe he'll buy you a beer or something like that.
Sweet. I know what I'm doing then.
Exactly. Let's go ahead, or before we go ahead and jump in, Chris, why don't you tell people kind of where you can be reached on Twitter and then what you guys do over at the In This League podcast network.
Yeah, absolutely. Find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh or IsItTheWelsh, as haters like to say. You can find me there, find all of my exploits, and everything we do is over at InThisLeague.com. We're very similar to this podcast right here, Friends of Fantasy Benefits. We do all the sports. We do multiple a week. You guys are really hardcore. We're not quite as hardcore, but we did do a hardcore week of five straight shows. We're at two shows right now for football, but yeah, you can go subscribe on iTunes, listen to all the crazy shit that we're doing and all the chaos and you know, the articles, and just, you know, get it's just like it's a rabbit hole. Like if you're comfortable with being and falling down a rabbit hole, then check out In This League for sure.
Definitely one of my favorite podcasts out there. Your guys is baseball and football episodes, fantastically produced episodes, hilarious to listen to. And for those of you who like play kind of some of the sports that we don't quite offer here at Friends Fantasy Benefits, hockey, college football, you guys have those as well. So definitely go check out our friends over at In This League.
Oh, you purposely left out basketball too. Justin just hates basketball.
Well, we have a basketball podcast. It just hasn't started back up again. We are about to finish up our three sport draft, where supposedly I have drafted a fantastic basketball team, though I have no idea if that's true or not.
That's because an owner told you you did okay. First off, nobody told you you did fantastic. You're just like overblowing yourself once again.
Make you feel better. They're like, "Oh, Justin, you did good. Good job. You did great." That's a good team. DeMar DeRozan is your star. That's good.
I actually think I have DeMar DeRozan on my team.
Of course you do. Of course you do. He scores lots of points. You have Jamal Crawford too?
I think he's actually going to be my next pick.
See? You like points. You're flashy. You don't have the Ibakas and all that.
No, I don't know what an Ibaka is.
Yeah, well, similar to a Jemias, so we can get into that.
Well, yeah, that's a little foreshadowing for the end or towards the end of the episode. Let's jump right into our next division preview. We're talking about the NFC South today. We'll start with the Atlanta Falcons, who played their first preseason game last night. Let's start with Matt Ryan. He has been kind of one of those guys that years ago were a top quarterback. People really kind of relied on him as a QB1. Currently, he's kind of looked at as a QB2. Chris, what are your thoughts on Matt Ryan this year?
Yeah, I'm a little conflicted on Matt Ryan because I want to like him more than I have him ranked. I currently have Matt Ryan ranked. We did all these. We've got all our ranks at the website, and we did some rank shows, and people can find those as well. But I've got Matt Ryan currently ranked at 17. So that puts him outside of a QB1 in almost any format, unless you're in a in a 20-man league, obviously, or something like that. But 16-man and under, I have him outside of it. And I went with I've got a few other guys, you know, just I don't want to call them unproven talents, but guys that, you know, their ceiling seems to be rising, where Matt Ryan seems to be leveled. And he has one of the best receivers in the NFL, crazy targets, crazy yards, just a crazy player, and had some breakout players as well. But just the touchdowns, the interceptions are really in line with each other. 21 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. The yards were great. He's just not in a game where you've got some of these players that are in the single digits of interceptions with the 30 to 40 touchdowns, and then throw in three or four rushing quarterbacks that are 300 to 400 yards plus, and they're getting 6 points per rushing touchdown. It just drops him down. He's getting older, and you know, I just don't know if the Falcons, especially with the resurgence of the Panthers, and I think the Buccaneers are going to come on this year. I just don't know if the Falcons are going to be in a heavy competing area. I think they'll be throwing plenty, which could maybe get him on the back end of a quarterback one, but he's not there for me right now.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Matt Ryan going into 2016?
Well, last season, I think I was pretty vocal saying that I hated him. I think pretty much from like week 8 on, I said how much I just couldn't stand the guy. And I think it's kind of based on what the Welsh said. You know, he is a consistent contributor, somebody that you pretty much can count on to, you know, go for 250 yards or so, maybe two touchdowns, an interception each and every game. But, you know, from week 10 on last season, he was the 23rd quarterback in fantasy. That's also, you know, that's not including for this year guys that I think will take a step up. You know, I think, you know, Tyrod Taylor, Ryan Tannehill, Marcus Mariota, those are all guys that can run. And that's just a facet of the game that Matt Ryan has never really had. You know, again, he's also getting older. If something were to happen to, you know, Julio Jones, like has happened in years past, you could see a ton more run, you know, attempts out of the Falcons overall. They do pass protect well, so I'm not worried as much about, you know, Matt Ryan and pressure, but I just think that he's a quarterback too. There's not much, you know, really going in his favor for him to, you know, shine above that this year, but I also don't think he's going to plummet and become a guy that's just unusable at all. But yeah, so overall, I'm not too high on him. I think he's just consistent.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have him as my 21st ranked quarterback, but I personally don't think there's a huge difference between like quarterback 17, maybe even 16, and like 25. It's just like they're all kind of the same guys. Some guys have a higher floor, some guys have a little bit higher upside, but I don't really have anyone that in that area that I'm really keying on. It's kind of like, well, I'll take my, you know, with my last bench spot that I'll throw my backup quarterback on there and I'll be probably okay with whoever I get. So it's not really a position in which, at least backup quarterback, it's not really a position in which I'm that interesting. Do you got, is he a guy that you would target in a two QB league, Chris?
Yeah, sure. Though if I'm playing in a two quarterback league, my strategy is different. I'm one of the people in that two quarterback league that's going to go two QB quick. And I'm going to go soon. We did a two QB mock in one of our mock draft episodes, and that was pretty much what I did. I'm trying to remember what I did. I think I went Andrew Luck and then Tom Brady, and then late in the draft I took Ryan Fitzpatrick. This is before he signed, so that was kind of my, you know, my cursor to when Brady was out. I like to have two top end quarterbacks, but sure, Matt Ryan's totally a quarterback too. There's a pretty far list, and like you were saying, like. My drafting area, I tier out my quarterbacks as well. So he falls in my tier four, and there's like eight guys in that tier. And to me, they're kind of all the same. You know, there's the Romos, Daltons, Cousins, Ryan, Mariota, Stafford. You know, those guys, they're interchangeable to me. So if I was in a two quarterback league, and I would make sure that I got a high end quarterback. So if I was rostering Matt Ryan, I would need to have like Drew Brees or Andrew Luck or Aaron Rodgers. And then obviously I would, while other people are taking quarterbacks, I'd be taking my running back, wide receiver, and then I'd swoop in, you know, a little bit later, and then I'd be targeting like, you know, Matt Ryan, maybe Brock. I like Brock Osweiler a little bit this year, Tyrod Taylor, something around those lines. But he's absolutely draftable in probably any two quarterback format.
Yeah, I'm kind of in your camp in terms of how I go about my strategy in two QB leagues. In my only two QB draft so far this year, I took Andrew Luck and then Ben Roethlisberger, and then I swooped in later and grabbed a third just to have a guy on my bench as trade bait or as a guy to fill in if one guy gets injured or during bye weeks. But Matt Ryan could be that kind of guy if you go with that kind of strategy. That is kind of a perfect third QB in a two QB format if you can, you know, reach up a little bit and grab him before people start taking their second one. Let's move on and talk about the running back situation there. Devontae Freeman appears to be the man. He dropped a wide open touchdown in the preseason game. I mean, just absolutely wide open. Nobody within 20 feet of him, hit him in the chest and dropped it. I don't think that he is in any danger of losing his job. But Mike, what are your thoughts on Devontae Freeman this year?
I won't be drafting him anywhere, and you know it sucks because I've always loved Freeman. I've loved him since he, you know, was playing for Florida State. You know, you couldn't help but love him when he was on Hard Knocks a couple years ago, and there's no denying that last season, if you owned him, you more than likely either went to the championship or won a fantasy championship because of what he did. My worries. For weeks 11 to week 15 last year, when Tevin Coleman was back in the lineup, Devontae Freeman was outside of the top 25 running backs in fantasy football. He was actually outside of the top 30. That definitely concerns me. Yes, there is a floor to his receiving. So in PPR leagues, I think that he's a pretty, you know, safe-ish choice. But at the end of the day, I don't have a good vibe based on, you know, the workload. There is a ton of running back situations in the NFL that aren't sorted out, and it's going to be a committee, and we all know that. But, you know, based on where he's going in drafts, I just don't feel comfortable taking him as my, you know, 15th pick overall. I would much rather go with a receiver in the second round and then bank on, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth round running backs rather than take a chance on Freeman, who has a small frame, had a heavy workload last season, and is one of those candidates, you know, kind of like I talked about with Jordy Nelson last season, that I think could get injured prior to the season starting. So
Don't do that again, Mike. Don't predict someone's injury and then watch my teams go down the drain that I've already drafted. I hate you for that last year. Chris, what are your thoughts on Devontae Freeman?
Yeah, he's pretty divisive to me. I don't think I'll be owning him, and I feel like it's unfair too, and I feel bad about it. Like, I think there's lots of reasons to obviously be excited about him. There's some reasons to get a little down on him. I mean, 102 targets were thrown his way last year, and he caught 73. And he also rushed for 1,000 yards. It's awesome. I think he had probably some unobtainable touchdowns that he's not going to get this year. But I'm just not in on him. In some of the mock draft episodes we did, I played around with passing on him on the wheel. In our last one, he actually went on the wheel at the 24th pick. When we put our top 200 together, he ended up as my 31st player, which, like, I'm just not going to draft him. That's what that said. Like, I don't think he's trash. Because I think Tevin Coleman is going to come in at some point in this season, and he's going to have a couple of those games. And Devontae Freeman will always be in the passing game, and he'll be worthwhile owning in a PPR format. I just don't know if he'll be worthwhile in that format as a second-round pick. You know, as like Mike said, like 15, 16 overall. I think at that point, like, the return on chance, it's minimal. Like, I don't see how you're going to get the return. I don't think what he did last year is sustainable. So I'm not going to draft him, and I'm not going to get him at 30. I'm not going to get him in the mid third round. So I'm not going to own him. And I have guys like CJ Anderson and Carlos Hyde above him just because I think Tevin Coleman is looming heavy. So I'm probably not going to own him.
Yeah, I completely understand where you guys are coming from. I think I'm a little lower on him than kind of the industry consensus as well. So he's probably a guy that won't be on a number of my teams either. I'm not as worried about Tevin Coleman coming in and taking up, you know, too many of his carries. But I've got him ranked kind of – I think I have him ranked as my 17th or 18th overall player on my draft board, and I've been seeing him go earlier than that, and so it probably means I'm out on him too. You know, especially.
Are you saying overall or at his position? Because I have him at 12 at his position.
You have him at 12 at his position.
I have him as the 12th.
Wow, I have him as my 7th running back.
12th running back, 30. Let me look. I think it's the 31st. 31st overall player.
Where do you have Carlos Hyde? If you don't mind me asking, Welsh.
I have Carlos Hyde two spots ahead of him. I have him at 10, and in my top 200, I have him at 29. There's this little tier. I have Hyde, CJ Anderson, and then Freeman, 29, 30, and 31 overall, and then they're 10, 11, and 12 at their position.
Is Rawls ahead of Freeman for you too?
No, I'm not incredibly high on Rawls, though. You know, like, the return to action stuff is going to get me a little bit more excited, but, you know, with like ProSize and Alex Collins, and they're talking about Christine Michael, there's a lot looming for Rawls. I'm not.
Is the industry going to fall for Christine Michael again?
I spent an entire season of podcasting just mocking everybody that did that because it was laughable. Thomas Rawls is not a guy. I have Thomas Rawls, I think, lower than probably the standard. He's my 16th running back.
That's exactly where I have him.
Yeah, and he's the start of a new tier also. He's in my 4th tier of running backs.
All right. Is anybody investing in Tevin Coleman as a guy, as a kind of a late-round RB that might get some action if something were to happen to Freeman?
100%. 100%. I'm drafting Tevin Coleman. Regardless, I'm not having Freeman, so it doesn't. I mean, if I had Freeman, all the more reason. Like, there are players this year you have to cuff. If you take Le'Veon Bell, which I'm fine with that. I would take him. You have to take D'Angelo Williams. If you're going to take C.J. Anderson, I think you need to take Devontae Booker. When you're taking some of these guys that hold a little bit of inherent risk with them, Jamaal Charles, you got to take Spencer Ware. With taking Devontae Freeman, you have to take Tevin Coleman. But I'm one of those people. I'm taking Tevin Coleman away from people. Because I think in the second half, he could be a Langford. He could be a Rawls. They drafted him high. They think they think highly of him. And if they're going to establish a run game and they're going to be successful at all, I think Tevin Coleman's going to get some run this year. He's worthwhile drafting as like a running back 4, you know, or 5 or something. I mean, obviously a 5, but as high as a 4, I think.
I agree with you. The other guy I'm kind of keeping an eye on in their backfield, though, is Brandon Wildes. I believe he was an undrafted free agent. He's a rookie this year. I just saw him play in the game last night, and he looked pretty decent. He looked like a guy who's got some good power. Could be kind of a masher type dude up the middle. A good complement to Devontae Freeman if something were to happen to Tevin Coleman. Now this is a guy that is going to go out undrafted in every format. It doesn't matter what the format is, how deep it is. He's going to go undrafted, but he might be a guy to kind of keep an eye on if you're watching the Falcons game in preseason. Or just a guy to throw on your watch list. If something were to happen to Tevin Coleman, this kid could get a little bit of a role there in Atlanta. Mike, what are your thoughts on Tevin Coleman?
Yeah, I like Coleman, and you know, I'll echo everything that Welsh said. I think you know you have to handcuff a lot of your running backs this year based on the fact that so many you know situations are muddled. You know, especially based on a workload sense, but. I liked him last year coming into the season. I like him again this year. He just really needs to get better at the Kyle Shanahan zone running scheme, get a little bit more patient. But he's always had the burst and the ability to hit home runs for fantasy owners, you know, hit 70, 80-yard touchdowns at any given time. The speed has always been there. So I'm really, you know, I'm definitely into taking him somewhere after the 10th, 11th round, which is currently where he's going. I think I have him at my, you know, 40th running back overall, but that's something that certainly can change before the preseason is over with. And I agree with Wildes. I think that he is a really nice complement to this run game. If something happens to Freeman or Coleman, for that matter, I think Wildes will be the guy that gets a little bit of a bigger role. They're certainly going to, you know, have somebody in that backfield continuously get carries because they are not going to have this whole offense, you know, they're not going to rely their whole offense on Matt Ryan. Not anymore. They used to be that way, but there's kind of a changing in the guard here. They certainly want to be more balanced. And God forbid, if something were to happen to Julio, they would need somebody like Wildes and, you know, Coleman and Freeman, really, for that matter, to come in and just really, you know, secure a foundation for the offense as a whole.
All right, let's talk about the wide receivers. This is the question I asked Eli when we were talking about the NFC East in the last episode, but I'll flip it around and use Julio as the name. Is Julio the number two wide receiver in or number one wide receiver in fantasy? Chris?
I mean, I don't think he is. I think it's Antonio Brown. But, I mean, if anybody came to me and wanted to, like, stomp their foot and make the argument that Brown, Beckham, Jones, or Hopkins is the number one receiver, I think you're fine. I have Brown and Beckham as in my tier one, and the next level is Jones and Hopkins, and it's almost not fair because Julio Jones led the league in targets, was tied for receptions with Antonio Brown with 136, and the dude had, I mean, freaking, he was one game away from having 2,000 yards. So Julio Jones is a freak. I would buy any argument to it, but I'm an Antonio Brown guy. And I will tell you, I've teetered, I think by within a week or so, like my ranks are going to adjust where Julio Jones is going to jump into tier one. And he could even jump Beckham. Like he's just that good. But, you know, with the quarterback issues of Matt Ryan, it's a little, I don't know, it's a little concerning. There's some, you know, heavy defense out there in the South, you know, with Carolina. But Julio Jones is a freak. He should be drafted top three, no doubt. You know, having the third pick is just such a badass position to be in this year because it's like, I'm getting an elite player. I'm getting a number one overall player in any format if I have the third pick, and I'm going to get one of Brown, Beckham, or Jones.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Julio Jones? Because I know he is your number two wide receiver.
Yeah, I put him there right now, almost out of default, because you know he's done it for multiple years now. We know what we're going to get out of Julio, but I have no problems whatsoever going with Odell Beckham as the second guy, and I have thought about it heavily, you know, these last few weeks whenever we're doing ranks, whether I should put him number two overall. Completely agree that number three, you know, in the draft is a great spot to be in because no matter what, you're getting one of those three players, and I would feel completely comfortable with it. You know, if it came down to it and I was the number two pick, I would probably go Beckham because, you know, 2 years in a row, he has had 12 touchdowns or more. I feel a little bit safer with him and his role. You know, Julio, he's going to have the role, but I still always have in the back of my mind. Every week, it seems like he's always questionable. You never know if he's, you know, fully healthy. And yes, the targets were amazing last year and the receptions and, you know, the yards, everything across the board. But I just always have that in the back of my mind with Julio, you know, and again, we're kind of, you know, splitting hairs here. It's not like something against Julio where I'm not going to take him outside of those three picks. But if I had to choose between the two, I think I would go Beckham, even though I think Julio from a pure, you know, from a pure production standpoint, I think is a bit safer.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's injury concerns with both, Beckham right. and Jones. Yeah. So, and I, something I said on the NFC East podcast was I think Beckham to me would be my number one overall player if I knew he would stay healthy. And I think you can make that same argument for Julio Jones. Like, if I know that Julio Jones is going to stay healthy, then maybe he deserves to be the number one overall player. I'm just not willing to bank on that at this point. Even though he was healthy for the majority of last season, I'm just not comfortable enough putting him in 1-1 overall for me. So I have him as my third ranked wide receiver. But like you said, it's splitting hairs between the top three guys for me. Let's go ahead and talk about Mohamed Sanu and Justin Hardy. Are either of these guys going to be guys you can rely on in fantasy this year, Chris?
Yeah, sure. Mohamed Sanu is a pretty consistent, you know, player. I haven't caught myself drafting him, but I do a lot of 16-man leagues, so he's a guy that's getting drafted in every single format. And I think he's a solid wide receiver 5. I could see people putting him as a 4. And if, you know, you're at injuries, it's not the worst thing in the world. I will tell you, though, I'm more intrigued by Justin Hardy. He's a player in deeper formats. This isn't really a 10 or 12-man conversation. But if you're in 16 or you're in deep bench keeper dynasty type of stuff, Justin Hardy, to me, he was a guy I thought was going to make an impact last year, didn't. I kind of have a gut feeling he's going to be a guy that's going to get some red zone action. He might sneak in some targets. And on the back end of the year, like, you almost might liken him to like a Doriel Green Beckham. Like, maybe he's going to have a couple games next year where you're like, whoa, you know, or this year, I mean, where it's like 5 catches, 110 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That's 1 week. But then he might go silent the next. So Justin Hardy in a bigger format is a player that I probably would try to roster just because I think he's on the verge of, like, with what the Falcons do and how they like to throw the ball, I think he could get some run this year, but neither one of these guys are targets for me. I'm not like jumping to go get Sanu and Hardy on any team, but I am going to monitor Hardy.
Mike, what are your thoughts on these guys?
You and I talked about Hardy last season, Justin, you know, going into the rookie, you know, podcast, and, you know, you and I were both very high on him. Didn't really get a shot last year, but, you know, 3 of the last 4 games of the season, he did get 5 or more targets, which is certainly encouraging. You know, I think that he will be the slot receiver this year. They don't necessarily go with 3 wide receiver sets the majority of the time, but I think that he's, you know, somebody to monitor. You know, in 16-team formats, it's okay to take a flyer on somebody like Hardy, but I think in your normal 12-team, 10-team leagues, he's somebody you just kind of monitor, and if there's an injury, maybe he gets a little bump in production. And then, you know, somebody like Sanu, I don't love the talent. He's never been somebody that I've been particularly high on, but there is a combined 116 targets being left, you know, left out of the field when you take away, you know, Roddy White and Leonard Hankerson from this offense. So that certainly can bode well for somebody like Sanu. I have him ranked a little bit higher than a lot of the staff on friendswithfantasybenefits.com. I have him at 58. You know, Ben Brennis is the only one that's higher at 45, which I think is a bit crazy. But
Ben's, you know, ranks are a bit crazy.
They are. But, you know, overall, I think that Sanu will be a solid wide receiver 3. I think he's more of a deep league play because in shallower formats, you want a bit more upside. And no, he's not the most talented receiver in the world. I would much rather go with some of your, you know, higher, you know, skill set guys, you know, maybe even your Laquan Treadwells of the world, Marvin Jones, people like that. But I do think Sanu will be a solid piece in deeper leagues that you can use on a week-to-week basis.
I agree with you, Mike. I really want to buy in on Justin Hardy again because, like you said, we both did last year as a guy who could contribute. I think them bringing in Sanu on the contract that they did really does not spell good things for Justin Hardy. And I was actually pretty impressed with what I saw in his limited action last night in terms of Sanu. You know, he caught two pretty nice balls, ran after the catch with them. I was actually surprised that he looked as good as he did, considering he's been pretty underwhelming the majority of his career. He's had moments where he's flashed good stuff, and then, but for the most part, he's been kind of just a meh kind of guy. So he's a guy that I was pretty low on. I think the only, well, I guess there were two rankers that didn't even rank him in their top 70 at wide receiver. I had him at 70 as my last ranked wide receiver. I'm probably going to move him up, maybe into maybe 10 spots or so. You know, maybe into the Terrence Williams, Josh Doctson area, and kind of leave him there as a guy that maybe I was just a little bit too down on, because, like I said, he looked pretty decent. Let's talk about Jacob Tammy. Is anybody interested in Jacob Tammy in any size league?
Nope.
All right.
No. Austin Hooper.
No, Austin tight ends Hoover. Are too big. Yeah, there's too much. There's too much depth at tight end. There's guys that are not listed on people's top 30 that are going to come out of nowhere. You know, you can go and sneak and, you know, I'd rather have Vance McDonald. Jeff Heuerman, who no one's talking about in Denver, you know, he's going to be a starter. You know, Ben Watson in Baltimore. There's a litany of them, and I have Jacob Tammy in my sixth tier of tight ends. He's, you know, just about at 30. Jason Morrow's at 30. He's at 29, so no thanks.
Yeah, not a single ranker on friendsfantasybenefits.com ranked him in their top 25 tight ends. So I think that kind of sums up what we, at least over at FWFB, think. So let's move on to the next team, talk about the Carolina Panthers. Is Cam Newton everybody's number one quarterback?
Nope.
Whoa, okay.
Tell me
why.
Because there's a guy named Aaron Rodgers that I put at number one. I love what Cam Newton did last year. There's no doubt. I mean, like, you know, when you go and sort and you look at stats and whatever, I don't care what league you're doing, and you look at the point differentials of what Cam Newton was last year compared to the rest of the quarterbacks, it's probably pretty heavy. And it's great. I don't want to pay for last year's stats this year with Cam Newton until I see it one more time. The rushing stuff was incredible. 600 yards, 10 touchdowns, almost threw for 4,000 yards and 35 touchdowns with really like no wide receivers. It's all impressive. But to me, I feel like I'm getting set up with Cam Newton, because you got to take Cam Newton in the mid second round. Maybe you get lucky and you get him in the early third. But you have to pay a high price for it. I think the rushing touchdowns are going to go down because you've got Devin Funchess, who's going to, you know, hopefully have a bigger impact this year. Kelvin Benjamin, who's back, plus Greg Olsen. It's a lot of red zone targets. Maybe Cameron Artis Payne is going to play a little bit more of a role. Mike Tolbert, I just don't see how he gets double-digit rushing touchdowns. I could see that going down to 5, and I think that's going to decrease the value. Throw for 35 touchdowns? I don't know. You know, I think there's going to be some new defensive schemes that are going to put on Cam Newton. He's going to be great. He's going to be a top-end quarterback, and this is kind of a splitting hairs type of thing where I could easily see him finishing 1 or 2 or 3. I don't think he's going to go finish like 10 or 11. I'm just not drafting Cam Newton because I can get Aaron Rodgers after Cam Newton, and I think Aaron Rodgers returns to old Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers' crappy year last year that we're all focusing on, he was 4 less touchdowns than Cam Newton, threw less interceptions, also ran for just about 350 yards. This is a guy that could put up 5,000 yards this year, 40 touchdowns, and could put a couple on the ground. So Aaron Rodgers is my number one, but Cam Newton's number two. They're in the same tier, splitting hairs.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Cam Newton?
If I had to pick between the two, I'm going Cam Newton. But if you put in draft price, then, you know, I think there's certainly a case to be made that you take Rodgers ahead of him. You know, Cam Newton on a week-to-week basis last year gave you an advantage at quarterback, but also, like I've been mentioning the whole offseason and going into this year, you know, the point differential from him and the, you know, waiver wire quarterback of the week, you know, from week 10 to, you know, the end of the season last year, he was only about, you know, 6 points a week better than Jameis Winston. that's not a big enough, you know, difference for me to take Cam Newton in the second round as opposed to waiting and getting a quarterback late in drafts. So, you know, to answer the question, I do think Cam Newton is better, you know, a better fantasy quarterback this year than Aaron Rodgers. There's certainly a case to be made the other way around. I think based on draft price, I would rather have Aaron Rodgers because you can, again, get him probably another round, possibly even two later. But I just feel like it's better to grab quarterbacks late because you can get one or two of them and be fine for the whole entire season and probably, you know, be able to stream them to the best of the ability and have just as good a value as anybody else at the position.
I have Cam Newton as my number one quarterback, but I think my top four guys, there's not a whole lot of difference between Newton, Rodgers, Andrew Luck, and Russell Wilson for me. I pretty much have said that this year I want to wait and take whoever's last on the board. So in somewhere in the third round. If that is Russell Wilson, great. If that's Andrew Luck, great. If it's Aaron Rodgers, great. It pretty much means I'm out on Cam Newton this year after being one of his biggest supporters last year. I was huge on Cam Newton, had him in a ton of leagues. It led me to a lot of championships, and I'm very thankful. But this year, I'm just not willing to pay the price where he's going overall in drafts. Let's talk about the running backs in Carolina real quick. What are your thoughts on the running back situation in Carolina, Chris?
I'm not on Jonathan Stewart or anything like that, but he's just not a player that I find myself drafting. I think my ranking is probably a little bit lower than industry standard. I think I have him at 18. He's in my fourth tier. And I don't think he's ever, I think he's rushed for over 1,000 yards once in his career. I don't have that in front of me, and I could be incorrect on that, but I think that's valid. He's not a big touchdown option. There's more offensive weapons in Carolina. You know, I mean, hey, maybe the counter to what I said to Cam losing his rushing touchdowns goes to Jonathan Stewart, but I think Cameron Artis Payne is maybe bumping a little bit up. Tolbert plays a little bit of a role. I'm just banking on the people that are taking Stewart, McCoy, Rawls, stuff like that. They're going to take them ahead, and it's going to drop running backs that I value a little bit more further down. So I'm almost using him as a, you know, as a decoy. I want other people to draft him. I'm not going to touch him, so it's going to leave better players for me. But I could see myself in some scenario if I got desperate drafting him, but he's not a target for me. Really, none of these guys are. Cameron Artis Payne, I don't think, is a valuable handcuff or anything like that. So I'm not really in on the Carolina running game.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I will not be targeting Stewart this year. You know, like you've mentioned, the age is a factor for me. The fact that, you know, he hasn't been consistently healthy for a long time is also something that weighs on me as well. He had a career high in carries / touches last season. We don't know how this offense is really going to play out. I think that it could be more of a pass happy offense this season. So, you know, based on where, you know, both Cameron Artis Payne and, you know, Jonathan Stewart are going in drafts, I'm just really not in. You're going to be spending about a fifth/sixth round pick on Stewart. You know, obviously Artis Payne is somebody you would grab later on, but if I had to pick between the two, it would be Artis Payne just based on the fact that he could, you know, get a full, you know, workload of carries this year if and when Jonathan Stewart were to go down. You know, I don't think Fozzie Whitaker or, you know, Devin Johnson or any of these other backup guys are worth mentioning to you.
No, I'm not. I mean, Tolbert would probably be more exciting than Fozzie Whitaker, but it's just, it's not a situation you really want to be. I don't think Carolina, surprisingly, this wasn't always the case when it was D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. It's just not a situation I want to bank myself. And in Stewart, in some cases, is costing people a fourth round, and I'm just, no thanks.
No, absolutely not. As far as the wide receivers go, we have Kelvin Benjamin up top. He is returning from his ACL injury last season. You know, we'll just start off with him. What are you drafting him this year? Where do you have him ranked? What are you doing with Kelvin Benjamin in your drafts?
Yeah, I like Kelvin Benjamin, actually. I'm not a Ted Ginn guy, so, like, we can't have a conversation about Ted Ginn because I can't physically have that conversation because I think he's just, you know, it's great what he did last year, but he's just awful. Him and Brandon LaFell have the worst hands in the NFL. So I won't touch Ted Ginn regardless. But I'm in the camp that Kelvin Benjamin returns value again. I have him as my 23rd wide receiver, and he is someone I have been targeting. I've been targeting him in keeper leagues, dynasty leagues, redraft. I want him on my team. And I also want Devin Funchess. Hashtag so much Funchess is what I like to call him. That's my guy. I want Devin Funchess because unfortunately, I bought on him last year, and that sure bit me in the ass. But I think Devin Funchess is a guy that could see targets, and he could benefit. He could benefit from Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen and the new focus that's going to be on Cam Newton this year, that I think Devin Funchess could have a nice sneaky year. So those two I'm in on. I'm not really in on Ted Ginn, though. I think Ted Ginn his actual role is going to help Benjamin and Funchess, but I am targeting those two.
Yeah, I haven't ended up with Benjamin anywhere in drafts yet, and that's not because I don't like him. I just, there was some kind of flukiness to his rookie year. I'm not going to say it was all legitimate. There was some kind of blowout games that he ended up getting a couple touchdowns in, as opposed to, you know, having it be more high leverage, you know, situations. Not to say that I wouldn't be open to drafting him this year overall, but it's just, you know, something I'm kind of more monitoring and maybe would make a trade or a move for him midseason rather than drafting him out of the get-go. You know, I have him as my 28th wide receiver at this point, which is actually lowest on friendswithfantasybenefits.com. But again, it doesn't mean I'm necessarily low on him. I'm just I'm putting him to the side for now and waiting until I kind of, you know, get a real feel for what I think the rest of the season will hold for him. As far as Funchess goes, I agree with you on Ted Ginn, by the way. Unless you're in like a deep league and you just need some, you know, some type of flyer later on, then that's fine.
Unless you get plus 10 points for drop passes, I don't want Ted Ginn.
Yeah, plus 10 points for drop passes. Passes and, you know, only being able to run a 9 route, then that's the only reason you would draft Ginn. But as far as Funchess, he really didn't come on until, you know, about week 9 last year is when he finally had a, you know, a decent game. He had 3 for 71 and a touch that week. You know, when you look at week 9 on in standard fantasy leagues, he was actually a top 30 wide receiver. I agree with you that he's going to really help out the passing game when you mix in Greg Olsen and then you mix in Calvin Benjamin there. I think that leads more to, you know, a ton more targets coming Funchess way and a lot of an easier time for everybody else in the offense because of the fact that they can't just hone in on one player specifically. So, yeah. You know, especially the last couple weeks of the year, Funchess was kind of relied on pretty heavily. You know, he had 8 targets and, he had 15 targets to the, you know, between, you know, 2 weeks between of the last 3 to end the year last year, including 3 touchdowns in the last 5. You know, I think he's a big red zone threat for them. And then when you mix in Calvin Benjamin, who's also a big red zone threat, you know, it's kind of the argument with Cam Newton too, because they're, you know, if he doesn't get as many rushing touchdowns because there is so much, you know, good red zone options, you know, pass catching wise, then that could really, you know, be a detriment to his numbers too, based on the fact that, you know, it's 6 points for a rushing touchdown and 4 for a passing. So exactly. That's something to think about there too. But yeah, I completely agree on both of them. Is there any other wide receivers here for their team? I mean, you're looking at, you know, Corey, Philly Brown, Stephen Hill. I just think that these guys, you know, are, you know, just no names for the moment. Maybe they would, you know, get into some production if somebody got injured, but
there's like this like tiny little corner. It's like they're like the truthers of the Stephen Hill truthers. There's this corner of the world of the fantasy audience that like they're sitting over there and they're like, just you wait, Stephen Hill, he's gonna come on and he's gonna be the man. So like there are Stephen Hill things in the back of my head, but no, I don't want any of these guys. Should we also discuss that how offended Justin was by the thought of Carolina wide receivers that he had to leave us?
he was very upset. Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I think that he just didn't want to talk about Kevin Benjamin. So he was just like, you know what? Screw you guys. I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
So he didn't want to have so much Funchess.
He pulled a Cartman in South Park. He's like, screw you guys.
I
will say that they start off their season, Carolina does, against Denver. You know, obviously, a Super Bowl rematch type deal. So that could be a problem the first week of the year. And I can kind of envision people seeing that game and, you know, having Cam Newton throw from like maybe one touchdown and, you know, kind of a lot of the offense being, you know, not really productive at all. And a lot of fantasy owners saying, oh, my God, what do I do with these guys? I drafted all of them.
Sure. And then you go buy them and then you try to, you know, you try to buy them low if you possibly can. You know, Calvin Benjamin owner freak said, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And you're like, well, I got this Michael Crabtree. He's pretty good on PPR. Maybe we do a swap. And he's like, oh, okay, that's good. And then you're like, yes, score.
Yeah, remember they played New Orleans twice this year, and then they played San Francisco week 2. So those, you know, worries could be mended, you know, just after one week.
Oh, yeah.
As far as Greg Olsen, you know, top 3 tight end for you?
Yep. Oh, yeah, guaranteed. I mean, I think I could see obviously where people make arguments, but to me, the top 3 tight ends are the easiest to rank. It's just Gronkowski, Reed, and Olsen.
It's fast.
And it's easily Gronkowski number 1. And to be honest, these are the only 3 tight ends I'm going to consider drafting in the mid rounds, and I will consider them. A lot of people won't touch Jordan Reed and will go Greg Olsen because there's a better cost. I will draft these. I kind of won't draft Gronkowski. I don't see scenarios where he fits my team, and I don't really like taking him at 8 or whatever. So these guys I'll draft if I don't get them, then that's where I'm sitting and waiting. I'll wait a while and I'll take somebody a bunch later. But Greg Olsen, always a monster for targets, 124 last year. I think that was second among tight ends, second to Delanie Walker, over 1,000 yards, touchdowns. He's the dude. You know, he's the man. He's going to get his every single week, and you should not be afraid of Greg Olsen.
Yeah, I would target him more in PPR formats, although you could say the same thing about Jordan Reed and Gronk, really, in that same respect. But I agree, those top three tight ends are in their own tier, and that you can kind of rank after that. I haven't ended up with Olsen in any of the mock drafts I've done. Again, it's kind of the same thing with Kelvin Benjamin. It's not that I'm down on Olsen. It's just, you know, based on the values, where they lie, at least, I'm not really in to grab him at, what, the fourth, fifth rounds currently. I would rather just go up around and get Jordan Reed, who I think is more of a focal point of his offense.
Me too.
You know, so, yeah,
I'm with you. I'm taking Jordan Reed ahead of that. You know, the only thing that it's a benefit that people could look for is because it's so popular to not take tight ends right now, just like kind of it is like with quarterbacks. But all of a sudden, what you end up having is you have this like great value. Like, let's say Greg Olsen is like the 44th overall player, and now you're at like 55, and you've taken three or four players, and everyone's avoiding the tight ends because Jordan Reed and Gronkowski went. All of a sudden, now you're getting a deal. You're getting exactly a smoking deal on Greg Olsen. I'm all about that. I'm all about that with Rodgers. I'm all about that with Olsen. Not afraid to get some old dudes on the team.
Yeah, my thing with it too is like a lot of fantasy football players, let's be real, I mean, a lot of them play fantasy baseball. And with fantasy baseball, especially in roto formats, you're just looking at the end of season bottom line. You know, as long as my guy hit 25 home runs and hit 280, you know, stole 20 bases, I'm cool with it, you know? But in football, yeah, it's a week-to-week game. And how much more comfortable do you feel with Greg Olsen as your starting tight end every week as opposed to somebody like, you know, Tyler Eifert?
Yeah, because you're probably going to miss like two games from Tyler Eifert, you know, in the season.
Zach Ertz.
Greg Olsen. You know? Totally. Yeah. Don't get on it. I'm not a Zach Ertz guy, but Greg Olsen, he's a steady Eddie man. I love Olsen.
Agreed. So I think we're through with Carolina there. Let's move on to the Saints. Drew Brees, automatic for me, top five quarterback this year. Somebody that I would be okay with targeting up there. You know, I've been very vocal about waiting on quarterback this year, but at the same time, you know, I'm okay with drafting one of the top guys if they fall a bit. You know,
That's my guy. I'll admit I am actually targeting Rodgers to the degree of what I just said with Olsen. With people are sitting out there letting these guys go because we're just not going to draft quarterbacks, blah blah blah. When I'm getting Aaron Rodgers, which usually should cost me a second, I'm getting him in the third. If I don't get him, Drew Brees is like the target. I am targeting him because he comes at a great value somewhere in the fifth or sixth round. This is the guy. I will have Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, or probably Blake Bortles on my team. It'll be one of those three that'll be on the majority of my teams.
Yeah, and I agree with that. You know, as far as Brees goes, steady Eddie, you know, you really never have to wonder what you're going to get out of him. They are always a pass-first offense. I know they have Ingram there still, and we'll get to him in a second. But, you know, it's just an automatic, you know, it's an automatic with Brees that he's going to be solid this year.
Yeah.
And the weapons on top of that are even better, in my opinion, than they were last season. You get Marcus Colston's dusty ass out of there. You know, bring in a brand new rookie who looks good, especially his first preseason game, looks really good in Michael Thomas. You know, there's really not much analysis to give with Brees. As far as Mark Ingram goes, do you believe in his breakout from last year? And are you banking on that when you're drafting this year?
Nah, I don't. We had this long discussion, Bogman and I did, on one of the more recent podcasts. People could go back and listen to it. We had this long Mark Ingram discussion where I just won't have him. And it's not because I don't like him. He's 64 targets last year, caught 50 of them, you know, plenty of rushing yards. He would have projected out over probably 1,100 yards. I mean, he's the guy. But the Saints always find a way to play rotations. They play rotations because it's a big, heavy offense. I'm fine with Mark Ingram. I like him. But I'm guaranteed you're going to be in a league where someone likes him more than you, unless you're the guy. And so what that means, though, is someone's going to take him at like 20 or 21. And that's not going to happen for me because I have him as my ninth running back, and he evens out at like 24. So and then what happens is if I'm on the wheel, because that's the wheel pick, if you're in a 12 man, I'm probably not taking a running back. I will probably be faced with having CJ Anderson or Mark Ingram. But then also there's probably going to be guys like Keenan Allen, maybe Brandon Cooks, Mike Evans, those. And I'm probably going to end up taking two wide receivers. So I don't see a scenario where I ever own Mark Ingram, but I wouldn't shy away from him. But I'm just not a low 20s guy on him this season. I think there's better late options. Like I like Duke Johnson this year a whole lot. So I'm just I'm not buying in, because this is another one of those scenarios where you're paying for what he did last year, the potential of what he did last year, and I don't see the major room for growth as far as production goes. Where I see there's probably a better opportunity for him to disappoint, because I know they don't have amazing running backs behind him, but no one would be shocked if Tim Hightower, C.J. Spiller, and Daniel Lasco all of a sudden take, you know, 40% of the snaps and Mark Ingram's getting 60.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, I've always loved Mark Ingram, but at the end of the day, you're paying for what he did last year, and it's just flat out not something that I'm willing to bank on either. You know, the touches went up a ton last season, and he did get more targets, but at the end of the day, you know, are we really okay banking a top 30 pick on somebody that's been perennially injured, somebody that probably is going to be, you know, second or third fiddle on an offense that's always been pass first? You know, that's why people are banking on Breeze, because he is always somebody that is going to get the attempts and the yardage and the touchdowns. So if you're banking on Breeze, then you shouldn't be banking on Ingram as much. I understand wanting a piece of the Saints offense because it is so dynamic, but at the end of the day, you know, another guy in Ingram that got outproduced towards the end of the season by Tim Hightower, another guy that is still on the team.
And people are going to assume when they think of Breeze and they think of all the checkdowns, they're going to be like, oh, it's going to be Mark Ingram. There's no guarantee. Mark Ingram's not going to play every down. And then all of a sudden, they might ride the hot hand. Tim Hightower is a good receiver from the backfield. Yep. C.J. Spiller, if he can actually keep his legs in one piece and can stay on the field, he can break out an 80-yard, you know, reception in the backfield. So I don't think it's as clear-cut when people are looking at Mark Ingram and they're like, well, I'm going to get 1,200 yards rushing, and I'm probably going to get 60 receptions for another 500 yards. I don't think that's a guarantee, and that's why I'm not paying that price.
And you bring up a great point with those other guys. You know, Tim Hightower has always been a player that has been solid catching the ball out of the backfield, going outside of pick 200, consensus ADP right now. Absolutely absurd. I would much rather
I picked him up in championship week last year. Like, I won one of our leagues having I had just the grossest set of running backs, and Tim Hightower led one of those.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, and that's how you win. You know, another couple, you mentioned C.J. Spiller. I'm completely okay. I'll tell you this. If in the preseason he does go off for one of those 60, 70, 80-yard runs, then Mark Ingram owners need to be on panic alert. Because
I would be tempted. I'd be tempted. C.J. Spiller, he's one of those, like, you know, he's one of those things. You know, we all have, like, that little vice. You know, it's that one thing. You're like, oh, there's that redhead chick. The redheads, man. Like C.J. Spiller's a redhead. Like, I try to avoid it. I don't think about it. But then I see him, and I'm like, oh, yeah, C.J. Spiller. He can do some stuff.
I've always been into that C.J. Spiller. He just
– yeah.
It's always trouble whenever I get around her. He always
– yeah, yeah, exactly.
But that all – it will just be – more of a bad situation for Mark Ingram if that happens, because if they keep C.J. Spiller and Tim Hightower on the roster, we're not even mentioning Daniel Lasco, who I think is a very productive running back if he were to get a good amount of carries. You know, you're looking at four running backs on this team that all can have their little piece of the pie that could really affect Mark Ingram. I'm not drafting him in the top 30, and, you know, there's a lot of people out there going for the no running back strategy. I don't fully agree with that, but if you're taking a running back in the top four rounds, then you want a guy like Todd Gurley, AP, Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, Lamar Miller, Doug Martin. Like, those are the only real guys that are getting the full shot. LeSean McCoy as well, if you want to kind of go a little bit deeper. But those are literally the only guys that you want to look at if you're going the opposite strategy and you're going to take a running back in the top few rounds, because those are the only guys that legitimately have the role. You know, even if they were to get injured, would get the role back probably to, you know, its full capacity whenever they returned.
I agree, dude.
As far as the wide receivers go, you know, we mentioned Michael Thomas, but, you know, Brandon Cooks, you know, somebody that, you know, everybody loved going into last year, and some people were kind of hesitant on. I know Justin was somebody that was really, really hesitant on him, but, you know, had a pretty much a breakout season last year. I think in PPR leagues, he's certainly a wide receiver one. He's getting drafted as such. Do you find him as somebody that you're ending up with?
Yeah, I actually just drafted him. We did a snake for our IT. We have this like ITL Army program for hardcore fantasy fans that enjoy our show. And we're doing this. We have a couple different keeper leagues, and we did this one snake one. And I took Brandon Cooks in our second round, and he was a guy that I've been wanting to draft. I have him just outside of wide receiver one as far as the top 12. He's number 13 to me. And it's funny because last year he actually had like the best most disappointing season you've ever seen. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, he was really disappointing in the first half of the season. Like, people were ready to cut him, and he was going for nothing, and then he just busted out, and all of a sudden he finishes the season 1,100 yards, 84 catches, 9 touchdowns. I'm excited about him. A lot of buzz about him. You got to pay a price, which is kind of a bummer. Like, you're not getting really much of a discount at all, but to for the most part, it depends what time of league that you're playing in. If it's like super, super competitive, he's probably not going to be there at the wheel. But the thought process that, like, in a 12-man league, you could get Antonio Brown, and then you could come back in the on the wheel, and you could maybe take Brandon Cooks and Keenan Allen, that's stupid to me. That's insane to me. And I think Brandon Cooks will have a big year, and I really like Michael Thomas. He's another guy I'm targeting. I don't have a problem with Willie Snead. He's a guy that I would take, but I haven't found myself doing it. But I have drafted Cooks and Thomas on multiple teams.
Yeah, I really like Cooks this year. He's more of a PPR target for me. You know, he's, again, in that top 30. So I definitely feel much more comfortable taking him than I do feel, you know, taking a Mark Ingram. I'll say that for certain. Michael Thomas, I watched last night, and, you know, I watched a few, you know, games of him in Ohio State. Just a really solid receiver. Good size, good elusiveness, really good route running, strong hands. I love everything about him. And
he immediately fits the team. He immediately really is fit in with the team. And, like you look at Michael Thomas, and you're like, this is going to be a guy. Like, you don't even think about Willie Snead in the back of your mind. You don't think about Michael Thomas right now is everything that we thought Brandon Coleman was last year. But Michael Thomas will actually do the things that we thought Brandon Coleman would do last year.
And I completely agree with that, because at the end of the day, like, he's an upgrade to Marcus Colston. And, you know, Willie Snead was used last season out of necessity. Not to take anything away from him, because I think he is a skilled receiver. But I just think he's more of like a wide receiver four in PPR leagues. And he's getting drafted as such. But he's still getting taken ahead of Michael Thomas, which I don't agree with. So
I have the same here. I agree with
him. If right now he's getting taken about, you know, 130 overall, which puts him, what, about 11th, 12th round in 12-team leagues, I'm willing to take him in the 9th. You know, and it to make sure that I get him. Devin Funchess is around that area too, but you can kind of see the landscape of your draft playing out. If you know, are comfortable taking, you know, a receiver in the first round, which I completely am as well, you know, you can see yourself take a receiver there, maybe take a quarterback, one of the high-end ones like Breeze or Rodgers, somewhere in the top, you know, 2-3 rounds there, and then, you know, take your running backs in the 4th or 5th, and then you get another couple wide receivers later on in the draft that have a really good skill set that can still put up, you know, wide receiver 2, wide receiver, you know, 3 numbers for you and be solid. So, and I think the Saints is a team that you can certainly do that with. Not a ton of other guys on the team to really mention at the wide receiver position. You know, we'll keep an eye on Brandon Coleman, but there's not, you know, I'm not really carrying any hope for him at the moment. Which leaves us with the tight end position. We have Kobe Fleener, who just you know, went to New Orleans from the Indianapolis Colts. I know Josh Hill is still kind of rolling around in there somewhere, but as far as Kobe Fleener goes, he's, you know, obviously getting a ton of hype going into the season, since he is pairing up with Drew Brees in an offense that, you know, produced Ben Watson last year as a top 10 you know, tight end out of nowhere. Where do you have Fleener ranked, and what tier do you have him in, and have you ended up with him anywhere as well?
Yeah, you know, I think I've had him in a couple mocks. I haven't had him in any leagues, because the majority of my leagues, it's Jordan Reed, or I'm waiting and I'm taking a Dwayne Allen. Or actually, just recently, I just took Jimmy Graham in one of those leagues, just as a, you know, shot in the dark. But I have Kobe Fleener at 6. He's in my 3rd tier. Tier 1 is just Gronk alone. Tier 2 is Jordan Reed and Greg Olsen. And then tier 3 is like Barnage, Walker, Fleener, Eifert, Kelsey. Mm-hmm. That's that whole tier. Fleener, though, is the target out of that group. Now, I don't like paying tight end 5 like price for him. You know, I mean, earlier on in the season, his Yahoo rank was in like the 118s. I think it's moved into the double digits, not the triple digits now. So if I can get Fleener, if I have, let's say, my starting wide receivers, let's say I have 3 wide receivers, 2 running backs, and a quarterback. So if I'd be comfortable with him as like my 7th player, somewhere in the 7th round, something like that, unless maybe 6 if I was really, really reaching. But because there's just a bunch of really good targets at tight end later, and people are discounting that. There's Martellus Bennett is going to surprise people this year.
Oh my God, I love Martellus Bennett. I was going to mention him, but I have him ranked as my number 9 tight end right now.
I don't have him fairly ranked. I do not have him fairly ranked right now, and I'm making my adjustments to it. This league that I'm doing, the snake draft, I can say this because this will be out after I've done it. I took Jimmy Graham My next pick is going to be Martellus Bennett. I want both of these guys because I think Martellus Bennett can be sneaky. You got Ebron, if he's healthy. Dwayne Allen is a huge target for me. Jimmy Graham, and there's late guys. So I say all of that. I want Fleener on my team because I think he'd get a ton of targets. He's super talented, but I won't overpay for him, and there will be someone that will overpay for him. So let them do that. If they're going to overpay for Kobe Fleener, and that might end up allowing you to go get, I don't know, Torrey Smith, you know, with the 49ers, maybe your wide receiver four, you go get a solid guy that could put up wide receiver two numbers instead of Kobe Fleener, and then you can go get a guy that's going to put up probably similar numbers or maybe better than Kobe Fleener in a Martellus Bennett, maybe Jimmy Graham, Dwayne Allen, something like that.
Yeah, all the guys going around Fleener right now is Gio Bernard, John Brown, Carson Palmer, Bortles.
Oh, all of them.
You know, you have a
John
lot
Brown
of
them, especially.
D'Angelo Williams is going after him as well. If you want to take your Tyler Lockett, I don't know how you feel about him, but I'm really high on that guy. Yep. So, you know, you made some really good points about Fleener. I think you and I are about at the same point because I feel like he will have probably his best statistical season to date with the Saints this year. But at the same time, it's getting baked into his ADP already. You know, he's a seventh round pick, essentially, like you mentioned. And, you know, paying that price already bakes in the upside that, you know, you would hope to get out of him moving from one situation to another. I completely agree about the other tight end targets as well. Martellus Bennett is, like I mentioned, my number nine tight end this year because I am insane on him. I think that there literally is no better destination than where he went to the Patriots and the situation. You know, even with Edelman going down, I know he's okay, but the situation itself, there's nobody that runs more two tight end sets than the Patriots. Bennett is.
They're going to start him.
Yeah.
They're going to start him. Their base set is going to be two tight ends. Martellus Bennett is as good of a tight end one that's going to surprise people as any. I'm probably going to, he was sitting at 15 for a while. He's going to move up to 11 probably for me. So he's a tight end one. And, but those are the reasons, everything we're talking about are the reasons why you just don't reach. You don't reach for any tight end. Don't reach for Gronk. Don't even reach for Jordan Reed. You take them where it makes sense. And if you don't, you move on to the next guy. Gary Barnage had more red zone targets than anybody last year at the tight end position. And he's going, you know, sub 90s, you know, maybe in the hundreds. And he was a 1,000-yard receiver, 1,000-yard tight end last year. There's just too many good targets you cannot reach, but you can totally target a guy like Kobe Fleener because he'll probably have a great year.
Yep. I think you and I are in lockstep there.
Football season has returned, and so has the Fantasy Black Book 2016 edition. Number one in fantasy sports for the eighth straight time on Amazon Kindle and on iTunes. The Fantasy Black Book has all of the information you need this season to separate yourself from the herd. The Fantasy Black Book is just $4.99. That's half as much as your precious magazines. Football is coming. The Black Book is ready.
All right, and with me to close out the analysis on the NFC South Division and talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, my home team, is Scott Bogman. Scott, welcome.
Hey, I magically turned in, you know, to the Welsh here. So
we've had all types of magic tricks this episode. At first, we started off with Justin, myself, and the Welsh. And then Justin magically disappeared, which I wish I could do on a more permanent basis. And then it was just the Welsh and I. And then the Welsh all of a sudden magically disappeared. And then you appeared. So it's been quite a fun ride.
Yeah, I'm a genie in a bottle. You got to rub me the right way. That's how it goes.
Nice Christina Aguilera reference.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I can appreciate that. So let's just get this thing going, man. We have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, close to a playoff team last year, but still had a lot of things to work on. But just starting from the jump, we have Jameis Winston, somebody that obviously, you know, in year two is going to try and improve on some things, hopefully the turnovers, of course, which has always been kind of some sort of a bugaboo for him. But, you know, where do you have Jameis Winston ranked in terms of your quarterbacks for this year, and are you drafting him anywhere?
You know, I haven't drafted Jameis in any drafts, and I don't think I am just because – I don't know. I'm a little risk averse sometimes, and the sophomore slump kind of gets me. I do like his long-term outlook. I have him much, much higher in Dynasty or Keeper than I do for this year. But I just feel like there's so many safe options at quarterback this year that why would I want to take a little bit more of a risky guy? So I haven't been drafting him. I mean, I wouldn't mind drafting him, but he goes much higher because there's a lot of helium on him.
Yeah, there is a good amount of helium on him, and I think that he will, at the end of this year, be a top, you know, 15-ish quarterback. I have him ranked as a top 12 guy, which is the highest on, you know, Friends with Fantasy Benefits website.
My homer!
I'm a bit of a homer, and I will admit that, you know, obviously. But, you know, the offense as a whole is solid. They, you know, we're going to talk about the rest of the pieces here, but, you know, we're looking at a step up from Mike Evans, hopefully. They have a nice slot receiver in Adam Humphries and Kenny Bell if he ends up assuming that role. You know, you still have Vincent Jackson rolling around there. You know, Charles Sims catches passes too. So, you know, we're just going to really be looking for Winston to, you know, kind of just do better in terms of turning the ball over. The Buccaneers offensive line wasn't terrible in pass protection last year, so hopefully they can continue that. And, you know, I love Winston as a player. You know, I'm a Florida State fan as well, so I've always loved the guy. You know, he in my opinion, was better than Mariota last year. I think he's, again, going to show that he is just a more advanced quarterback this year. That might not, you know, produce better output in terms of fantasy because he doesn't run that much. But he did have, you know, a few rushing touchdowns last season, which you can, you know, appreciate from a fantasy standpoint. So I think that Winston is safely a top, you know, 15-type guy. Right now in drafts, he is going just outside of pick 100. Looks like he's about, you know, the 13th quarterback taken off the board. I think that's about value for him. So you're really not getting a bargain getting him at that price.
Yeah, I've got him at my QB 18, which just means I will not be taking him. And, you know, it's I love Winston because he reminds me of Roethlisberger, and I'm a Steelers fan. So I know a lot of people compared him to different guys, but he reminds me a lot of Roethlisberger because if you watch him in Florida State, that escapability is really the thing. You know, the escapability and keeping the eyes downfield to make the big plays is really where Jameis Winston's bread is buttered. So I really like him for the long term. I just think that there's guys like Rivers, Romo, even if he can stay healthy, Eli, Stafford, guys that have done it before that I would rather have over Winston this year just because there's so many options and it's really, really safe. So,
yeah, I get it. You know, I think he's, you know, you brought up Ben Roethlisberger as a comp. I completely agree with that. I actually have always thought that way with him. And we could see, you know, him develop into a top 5-6 fantasy quarterback in the next, you know, few years. But I think for this year, he is going to take a step up. It's just, you know, in drafts, you're getting him at value right now. You're not really getting a bargain. So, you know, I think, you know, guys like Carr and Mariota and, you know, even Stafford for that matter could present just a little bit better value based on where they're going. Doug Martin, you know, finished as a top 3 running back in non-PPR formats last year. You know, end up getting a new deal, is a guy that I think is, you know, still going to be a solid running back one. He's also somebody that you're going to have to pay for. You know, he's going in within the top 25 of ADP right now. That's, you know, obviously a pretty high price to pay. Are you paying that price?
I have him as my wide receiver 8. Like, if you're looking for a running back in the second round, kind of late, I think you could do much worse than Doug Martin. I think the only thing that I fear with Doug Martin really is the injury history. I mean, he played 16 last year, and the Welsh was all over him. But the year before, he was banged up, and he's just had a couple years of being hurt. And that's why if I do take Doug Martin, I'm really trying to handcuff him with our guy Charles Sims.
Yeah, I completely agree with that as well. You know, they did share a ton of snaps last year. And you also have to wonder, you know, game script wise, are the Bucs going to be in enough games where Martin can accrue enough carries? You know, he is going to be the goal line back. I'm not worried about that at all. Health is a little bit of a worry. But in non-PPR formats, I'm okay with taking him at that price. I haven't gotten him in any of the mocks I've done. I think everybody is just kind of a little bit, you know, tepid on him because they know in the back of their minds, like, you know, he's screwed us for a couple years now. You know, it's just, you know, and that's just part of the emotional way of looking at it. You know, it might not even be from looking at pure statistics. It's just the fact that he, you know, from a fantasy angle, has screwed us a couple times. Now you're going to be investing, you know, one of your top 2 or 3 players on him. Are you willing to do that? For me, I'm just not, you know.
I think I'm more emotional about the running back position as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be taking running back high because they all get hurt. So many of them get hurt. It's so rare to see a guy play 16 games. Like, if you look in my top rankings here, I've got Peterson played 16, Miller played 16, Martin played 16. After that, it's a bunch of 13, 12s, 5s, 6s. You know, I mean, it's rough. You know, it's a rough position to take. So I'm leaning towards wide receivers more. But, you know, the scarcity also is something that you have to take into factor when you're thinking about running backs too. So as Doug Martin goes, I don't mind taking him in the second. I would really like to have him in the third, but it seems like you're just not going to be able to get him there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm critical of Martin because I have watched him so much. And, you know, he didn't really change the way he ran last year. You know, I mean, he just essentially stayed healthy and was given a full workload. You know, I am a little bit worried about it from a PPR standpoint, what he'll be able to produce. And I'm also a little worried because last year was just a really bum year for running backs. So the fact that he just stayed healthy the majority of the year kind of was the reason he was a top five running back in fantasy.
Right, it vaults him.
Yeah, if you know, have half the running backs from last year stay just, you know, a little bit healthier than they were, then you might be talking about him as more of a top 10, 11 guy. You know, and if you're drafting him in the top three rounds now, that's kind of, you're not really getting a ton of value in that standpoint. I'm definitely one of the people that's going to be taking, you know, wide receivers the majority of the time in the front end of the draft. I don't mind mixing in one of those top end quarterbacks or, you know, one of those top end running backs. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think Martin's just a little risky for me. I do have him as my eighth running back, you know, in my ranking. So I'm obviously not like off of him, but I just haven't found myself drafting him.
Samesies. I've got Bell, Charles, Samesies, Miller, David Johnson, Elliott, Gurley, and Peterson ahead of him.
Sorry, I just can't get over the super bad. Samesies.
Samesies, yeah.
Let's talk about Charles Sims, who I'm absolutely in love with, especially from a PPR standpoint. Just a real stud last year that I don't think people really notice either. He ended up being, I believe, sixth in all of fantasy in terms of receptions. He was also the 16th ranked running back at the end of the season in PPR leagues. Somebody that is going decently late in drafts. Let's see, he's going 96th overall in consensus ADP among a bunch of the different outlets. I love the guy for this year. I think I would. I would much rather have Charles Sims on my team based on the value than Martin. Do you feel the same way?
Not really. Like, I like Charles Sims a lot. I feel like because he had so many catches, he's being a little bit overrated. I feel like that a little bit with a lot of these guys, though. Like, the thing with Sims, though, that I like more than, you know, I mean, I like Woodhead more because, you know, he's 30 catches better. You know, I like Riddick maybe right around the same range. But he can run the ball too. That's the thing that I like about Sims over some of those guys, like just as far as a player goes. So if Martin went down, which he has before, I think that vaults Charles Sims up a lot because he can run the ball. I don't think if Melvin Gordon gets hurt, Danny Woodhead is not becoming the main guy. Maybe he'll catch a couple more balls, but he's not going to be the main running back. That's going to go to Oliver or Kenneth Farrow, or somebody like that. But you know that if Doug Martin, who has an injury history, goes down, Charles Sims is not only, he's already going to be the third down back because he is the third down back right now, and he can run the ball. He had 500 rushing yards last year. Mm-hmm. So I like that about Charles Sims. I do feel like he's being a little bit overdrafted. I'm in a league right now. I believe he went in the sixth round. Now this is a 16 man, so normally that'd be around the eighth round. I guess that's okay for him. I would want him more as an RB4 and not an RB3.
Understandable. I have him as my 40th ranked running back right now.
41st for me.
Yeah, so, and that's
close to samesies, Mike.
Almost samesies. You and I are pretty much the highest. If you were in our Friends with Fantasy Benefits rankings team, you and I would be the highest on him. So, you know, there's a little bit more trepidation on the, you know, on his production on the Friends with Fantasy Benefits rankers front. But, you know, I think, you know, you and I are about in lockstep. I'm probably a tad higher. I wouldn't mind him being my third running back because I do think that Martin is a sure thing to at least miss a couple games this year. And if not that, be questionable probably the majority of the time. So, you know, I don't, and Charles Sims has his own injury history as well. So I'm not trying to sit here and say that that's not a risk. But I think that if, especially in PPR leagues, he's going to be one of my targets as at least a running back three. I would be, you know, insanely happy if I got him as my running back four. Is there any other running backs on this roster that you want to mention? I know you and I were talking pre-show and you had a little bit of a love for Peyton Barber.
I have love for Peyton Barber, but it may just be my CFF, you know, my college fantasy football love, because Peyton Barber beat out Jovan Robinson, who was a big JUCO transfer last year, and it was supposed to be the guy, and Peyton Barber stepped up and was really good for Auburn. I'd like to see him make this roster. I don't know if that's going to be possible, though. But the good thing is that he'll probably make the practice squad. Mm-hmm. And being on the practice squad, it's a lot. He could wind up in that Thomas Rawls kind of situation like last season. If Martin gets hurt, if Sims gets hurt, you know, we know there's a lot of turnover at the running back position. He could have some late round value. So absolutely not worth drafting at all. But should we see some catastrophic injuries happen to this backfield, he may be a guy that can come on late in the season like a Thomas Rawls did last year. And I'm not saying he's Thomas Rawls or anything no. And do not stash him. Just think about it if bad things happen. That's all.
Yeah, just put him in the back of your mind. I agree with that, and I think that he's not going to make the roster. But if he stays on the practice squad and nobody plucks him, that would definitely be a nice thing for fantasy owners just to kind of keep their eye on. You know, Mike James is also behind Charles Sims and Doug Martin, so if there was an injury, I think that he would, you know, get the majority of the goal line touches, because Sims really isn't that type of guy. He's more of a passing down back, somebody that, you know, would be, you know, probably in on more passing downs in general. So I think James would probably step in if Martin were to go down. Moving on to the receivers, obviously at the top end, you have Mike Evans, somebody that, you know, I'm still just like, this is kind of a make it or break it year for me on Mike Evans from a fantasy perspective. I mean, I always will love him because, you know, he's my boy, and there's nothing, you know, that anybody can say that will make me not like him. But
Aggie.
From a fantasy perspective, he's getting taken amongst the top 25 overall picks. I mean, he was heavily, you know, targeted in the red zone last year for the Buccaneers. He was the highest targeted wide receiver in the red zone. You know, just behind him was V-Jax, who we'll talk about in a second. But, you know, they have the thing that concerns me a bit is I was looking at their schedule, and they have some really tough matchups to begin the season. They end up facing Atlanta to start the year, which, you know, obviously they have Desmond Trufant. That's not the greatest matchup in the world. They have Arizona the week after that. These are both on the road with Patrick Peterson. Then you have Janoris Jenkins and the Rams, and then you have Denver. And then after that, you have Carolina. So you have a really, really nasty beginning of the season for Mike Evans owners, and you know that kind of worries me a bit. And for the season, it's not a great schedule either. So if we look at last year against Atlanta, he, you know, did have a 5 for 61 and a touch against them in week 13, and the other week against them he went 3 for 48. So it's kind of a wild card. You know, I don't know how to feel about him from a fantasy sense. What are you doing with him this year?
I got him as my wide receiver 14. You know, I'm a little prejudice against Mike Evans being a Texas A&M Aggie, and I'm a Longhorns fan. So, but I mean, look, you got to think about how big he is and how he only had 3 touchdowns. There is not a chance that's going to happen again. There's just no way. And so I expect him to be up at 7-8 touchdowns, somewhere around there, maybe close to the same amount of yards. So I think he's going to be very, very productive. And when the Welsh and I were talking in our wide receivers ranks episode, I said, and I told him it's going to surprise him because I don't really like him. But he said, who's a wild card guy that you think could be the number one overall wide receiver? And I said, well, it's Mike Evans. If he can get in the end zone a lot and keep getting those catches and keep putting up yards, I think, you know, really the red zone targets, because he's so big and he's so much bigger than almost every cornerback in the NFL, that there's no reason why he can't catch 10 touchdowns a year, at least 10 touchdowns a year. So it's just getting on that same page with Jameis Winston and having a second year quarterback and being, you know, so young, the team is still pretty raw. That's why I have him ranked a little lower than most people have him ranked. So, but I mean, I do like him. I just think that next year or the year after, kind of like you said, this is a make or break. If he pushes up this year, then he's going to be one of those consistent AJ Green, you know, Julio Jones type of players. It's just we got to see him put some of these years together in a row.
Yeah, I have him as my 10th receiver ranked at the moment. I've ended up with him in a ton of mock drafts, and that's also because of homerism. I'm not going to lie. You know, I am a little bit worried about the opening schedule, so, you know, take that for what it's worth. But at the end of the day, you know, you like you mentioned, 3 touchdowns as opposed to 12 last year. You know, last year at this time, people were taking him almost in the top 10 in fantasy drafts. So, you know, the fact that people were probably going to be taking him more in the, you know, second to borderline third round at times going into this year, it could present value, you know. So I'm definitely in on Mike Evans. It's certainly a wild card, but it's not as much of a wild card as it is taking some of these running backs at the same time. You know, I mean, you, in general, you know, running backs have a lot shorter shelf life. You know, if you're asking me, you know, who I want to take between Mike Evans and Eddie Lacy, I'm taking Evans. If you ask me who I want to take between Mike Evans and Mark Ingram, I'm taking Evans. So, right. You know, if you put it in that perspective, I, you know, that's why I've ended up with Evans in a ton of places. And that's why, even though his opening schedule, once again, isn't that great, I'm willing to bank on the upside and the talent.
Right. And who knows about that? I mean, you know, a corner goes to Patrick Peterson, gets hurt week one.
Yeah.
You know,
or he goes back into Shitsville, you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah. He goes back into diabetic shock or whatever.
Oh, God.
And, you know, it's Mike Evans all day, baby. But the, going from 12 to 3 is, you know, I know we can't depend on touchdowns.
Yeah, they're fluky. Yeah.
They are fluky, but when you're 6'6 and a good wide receiver with good hands, you should be catching 10 touchdowns every single year. There's no reason for Winston not to trust you on first and goal from the 1 to just lob it up. He should catch it over that corner every single time, and he should get at least 3 to 4 of those a year. And so he shouldn't be at 3 touchdowns. He should be at least at 7. And you want more 10 to 12 for him. And I think that'll happen again. I'm just I'm a little bit worried about Winston. I'm a little bit worried about this offense, and I really don't like their cutter. So Andy went to A&M, so I don't want to have him on my team. So
samesies. Another guy that should be catching at least 5 to 10 touchdowns a year is Vincent Jackson. He missed some time last year. He's getting up there in age. I completely understand it. But, you know, in terms of red zone targets, you know, he was almost he almost got just as many as Mike Evans in, you know, again, 5 less games. He's going at a pretty economical price right now in drafts, outside of the top 130 picks based on consensus ranks. Somebody that I'm, you know, not really targeting necessarily, but, you know, I have him as my 51st wide receiver. A couple of the rankers on the site have him a bit higher than I do. How do you feel about Vincent Jackson this year? And do you think that Mike Evans, being such a big target for Winston, might be able to draw defenders away from V-Jax?
I'm hoping so. You know, I like Vincent Jackson. I've had him a lot on teams in the past. I haven't taken him anywhere so far. I have him as my wide receiver 45. I don't know. You know, I like him. He's a big guy. He's a big target. But it's a lot like the things that you see with Vincent Jackson. And this is a little bit weird that these guys are together. The things that you see with Vincent Jackson are the same things you see with Mike Evans, because they're the same type of player. They're a big-bodied wide receiver, kind of more of a reception receiver. They're not going to torch you downfield or anything. It's like a, you know, 4-yard out and let them run with it. Mm-hmm. And you want to see more touchdowns. You know, 3 touchdowns is just not cutting it for the Bucs offense. I mean, Jesus, how many 3rd-and-1s did they pound in with Doug Martin last year and Charles Sims and Jameis himself? You know, you got to think that the touchdowns are going to turn over for this team at some point. And, you know, because they're not going to go to Jenkins, right? So,
oh, God.
Let's give him to these big wide receivers. Let's let Jameis and that's what I really think Jameis could open up if he starts taking advantage of these guys' size. So
yeah, that was the talk last year coming into the season was, you know, hey, they have V-Jax, they have Mike Evans. This is going to be a great offense, kind of like, you know, Chicago with their, you know, Twin Towers when they had Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. You know, that's what a lot of people were saying about this team prior to last season starting. And, you know, obviously we can't bank on V-Jax's health, but he's going at a point in drafts, you know, essentially the 12th, 13th round or so, that, you know, if you just need a guy, I think he's more of a deep league play because he's more of just a serviceable wide receiver 3-4 in deep leagues that can, on a consistent basis, put you up some, you know, decent stats week in, week out. And if he gets injured, there's still some guys on the Buccaneers team that you can use if you need to fill in that void or, you know, you can just hit the waiver wire, because a lot of times you can hit the waiver wire for wide receivers as opposed to looking for, you know, other skill positions like running back or tight end and stuff like that.
This is the yard sale version of Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah,
I would say.
Agreed. It's not even a poor man's version.
No, a yard sale. Yeah.
A guy that the Buccaneers were insanely high on last year before injuries kind of derailed his season was Kenny Bell. Right now, he's not slotted in as the starting slot receiver. That right now is going to Adam Humphries, who I'm not a big fan of, but, you know, he is a Clemson receiver. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. He ended up getting a good amount of targets at the end of last year as well. But Kenny Bell, do you have any interest in kind of keeper dynasty leagues on him still, or are you kind of just out?
No, this is another one of those, you know, I loved him in CFF. I was really excited to see what he was going to do last year, and then he got hurt type of deals. Now, he didn't help himself by fumbling the opening kickoff of the very first preseason game.
Yeah,
bravo. Way to be, Kenny Bell. You know, you wait all year, a whole season to do that. So he's probably in the doghouse a little bit this week, so he's really got to turn it around before preseason finishes off here. But I like his long-term perspectives, but he's a guy that you can take, you know, even if you're in a 30-round draft, probably close to the very end, and cross your fingers.
Yeah, he's going to be a waiver wire play all year, pretty much. I mean, I think that if the only way that he gets real fantasy relevance is if he, you know, in the second half of the season gains that slot job and gets, you know, but the Bucs don't even run a 3 wide receiver set as their base. So you can't really count on that. I think that this is a, you know, just somebody in keeper dynasty that you know, if you have a deep draft that you're in, or, you know, you're doing another draft for this season, kind of a reload situation. I don't mind, you know, taking a speculative ad on Kenny Bell, because I do like the talent long-term. And I think that V-Jax, once he is gone, will definitely have a ton of targets that are going to be left over for somebody like Bell. But for this year alone, I just don't really see much reason to add him in any even deeper drafts, because I just don't see a real role coming for him. In terms of Humphries, I think that he is the better speculation ad for this season, just because he has the role. He does what's needed of him. Last season, he proved to the Buccaneers that, you know, he's a solid receiver. He's not somebody that's going to be a stud in fantasy. But in deeper leagues, you know, your 16, 20 team leagues, if you need just a wide receiver 5, somebody that you can slot in on a few bye weeks, I don't mind rolling with Adam Humphries, more so in a PPR format.
I love slot jobs, by the way. I tell you what, I would rather party with Lewis Murphy at a wedding than I would draft Kenny Bell.
That was messed up.
If you guys don't know, Lewis Murphy woke up in some stairwell after a wedding and had to kick the window out to get back to his hotel room in the off season.
At least he didn't cut his foot like, oh man, who was the guy that cut his foot like in the bathroom or in the bathtub or something? Maybe that was Chris Sale. Maybe it was baseball.
Yeah, that was. No, was that Chris Sale? I know who you're talking about. There have been so many of those injuries that are clearly not what the players say they are. You know, like, oh yeah, I slipped and my hand went through a plate glass window. Yeah, probably not. You probably pissed off and punched it and slice up your hand, but okay, whatever you say, pal.
Or Darren McFadden that had to like save his cell phone and ended up like hurting his elbow, because that's just like the most Darren McFadden thing to ever have happened.
Yeah, exactly. That couldn't happen to anybody else but Darren McFadden.
It's awesome. But yeah, I mean, on this wide receiver core, you have Lewis Murphy still kind of rolling around there. You know, really nothing to look for in fantasy. Russell Shepherd caught a touchdown in the preseason against his old team, the Eagles. I know Jameis Winston wanted to make it a point to do that for him. So, you know, I know he caught a touchdown against the Eagles last season as well, but he's not fantasy relevant. Is there anybody, you know, else on the wide receiver core that you find relevant in fantasy for this year or beyond, or are we ready to move on?
Nah, let's move on. Bell's really the only guy.
Yeah, I kind of was just kind of wait, because I really didn't want to talk about the tight end position, because Austin Spurrier Jenkins is pretty much number one on my shit list right now. I can't stand the guy. He came into camp this year in OTAs, you know, according to Dirt Cutter, just not ready. He ended up getting thrown out of a practice and then whining on Twitter about it because he just wasn't a mature adult, didn't come in ready, wasn't prepared to be a leader of sorts in the on the field, or, you know, in the locker room for that matter. and he pretty much got called out for it. This isn't just a make or break year in fantasy for Austin Seferian Jenkins. This is like a make or break year for him with the Buccaneers. If he doesn't show that, you know, he's willing to put in any time or effort, then the Bucs are just going to flat out release him, you know. And, you know, you and I were talking prior to the podcast starting, I'd rather have a guy that isn't that talented, but is going to give me everything on every single play rather than a guy that has an insane amount of upside that it just doesn't give a shit. And that is exactly what Austin Seferian Jenkins is. From a fantasy perspective, you know, he's somebody that's gotten injured a ton throughout his career. Obviously had a ton of his year last year derailed due to injury. He's going in about the 15th, 16th round this season, but I'm in no way, shape, or form drafting him right now. How about you?
No, I can't. Like, I always wait on tight ends, and it's just not worth it. I'd rather take a guy like Hunter Henry out in San Diego, or
sure,
Tyler Higbee for the Rams looks pretty good in the preseason so far, and they need a playmaker. I'm just not messing with this. You know, if Austin Seferian Jenkins gets his act together and can get back out on the field, I think he's got a lot of natural ability. I think that he can be a really good red zone target. And, you know, that's the thing about the Bucs. They have a million red zone targets. I don't know how Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans wound up with 3 touchdowns apiece.
Yeah, strange. It's insane. It's insane.
It's very, very strange. But I think that, you know, ASJ just – I don't know if he needs to go to a new situation, maybe get away from Dirk Cutter. Maybe that's better for him. Or maybe, finally get it going, get it right, and get on the field for this team, because something's got to change with his career for him to make it in the NFL. It's, you know, was that old Doug Glanville or Jerry Glanville used to say, you know, NFL stands not for long. So if you don't get off your ass and start doing your fucking work, you're going to be, you know, flipping burgers. So get your shit right, ASJ.
Yeah, I mean, and another thing about the red zone situation for the Bucs, I mean, I mentioned that Winston had some rushing touchdowns last year. He had 6 of them, and he's not a running quarterback. So the fact that, you know, V-Jax and Mike Evans both ended up with 3 touchdowns apiece, and which pretty much amounted to the same that Winston had, you know, in the red zone, is pretty insane. You know, in terms of Austin Seferian Jenkins, the guys that I would rather take a flyer on at the tight end position that are going later than him, 100% Jordan Cameron. I'm all aboard that train this year. Charles Clay, I'm okay with taking him above Austin Seferian Jenkins. You mentioned Hunter Henry. I'm willing to take him. I still would be okay with taking even an Austin Hooper above him. You know, maybe Tyler Higbee for sure, but even Austin Hooper I would rather take a shot on right now than Austin Seferian Jenkins. The reason why is because Cameron Brate, kind of another tight end that doesn't have a ton of talent, came out of Harvard, but, you know, produced some pretty good, you know, games for the Buccaneers last year when Austin Seferian Jenkins was out. You know, I'm okay, you know, from a Buccaneers perspective, an NFL perspective, having Brate on the roster, because at least he gives it his all and he does what it needs to be done, what he's supposed to do.
He's a grinder.
Job. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Bucs, that's exactly why Cutter was okay with letting Austin Seferian Jenkins know, like, hey, if you're not going to give me effort, then, you know, we'll let Cameron Brate play. That's still a significant risk with ASJ, because Brate is going to do what's asked of him. He's not a fantasy asset, so, you know, don't think of it that way. But, you know, Winston is the type of guy that likes to target his tight end. He loved Nick O'Leary at Florida State. He certainly will like to, you know, target some of his tight end options here if ASJ decides that he wants to get his life together. But, you know, in terms of Cameron Brate, you know, what do you think about him? Probably not fantasy relevant, but, you know, if you want to add a few words.
Nah, I mean, Cameron Brate is the type of guy that, you know, if he starts stringing together touchdowns, you know, okay, you can add him on your team in a deep league. You know, I think he has like Kyle Rudolph upside. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a guy that you'll want about 3 to 4 weeks for the season, and other than that, he's getting 2 catches for 19 yards, and you're not very interested. He's more of a run blocker, pass blocker type of guy.
Yeah, agreed. That pretty much does it for the Bucs situation for this NFC South podcast. Appreciate y'all going through this rotating chairs debacle we had going on here. But Scott, appreciate you coming on. Let people
know. Save the best for last, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate
great.
It.
You're you're one of my good friends and one of, you know, Friends with Fantasy Benefits' great friends as well. So let everybody know where you can be reached, all that jazz. I know you guys are killing it over at ITL right now and got a ton going on. So let everybody know what it is.
Yeah, you can find me on the Twitter machine at Bogman Sports. We are on InThisLeague.com. We've got football. We've got baseball. We got basketball. We got college football. Hockey's coming back. We got all this stuff. We just recently, last week, did what we call Hell Week. It's rankings episodes every single day for the first 4 days, and then a mock draft, which is one of our specialties, on Friday. And we're putting those mocks out every Friday up until before the season starts. So if you want to, go on InThisLeague.com or on your podcast app and check out In This League football and baseball, basketball, football, college football, if you're into it. All the stuff. So just check us out.
Yeah, absolutely. You can check me out on Twitter at Mike Warner, FWFB. We got a ton of football podcasts coming out almost every day, you know, during the week. We also have baseball still holding strong there. Podcasts at least three of the days every single week as well. Have a ton of content on friendswithfantasybenefits.com that you can check out. I will be doing Houston Texans updates for Fantasy Pros this year. So if you want to check those out on fantasypros.com, be sure to do that. But yeah, get ready for your drafts, everybody, and crush it.
Samesies.
Samesies.
Every night I get you on the telephone. We sleep and we talk and we play till the dawn. Trying to get a handle on who we are. Sleep all night with the phone off the hook. Falling in love is never by the book. Getting close beneath the blanket of a million stars.
Let's see, we are episode 78. All right.
And just pre-warning, like, if for some random reason my boss came in here and no that worries. Happened again and I disappeared for a second, I deeply apologize for the editing that it would cause, but it shouldn't happen.
It wouldn't take me very long. That's right. My kid walks in all the time.
Daddy, can I have some hot dogs? We're talking about the Redskins, honey, so you can have some hot dogs fucking later.
All right, I'm good.
All right, let's start.